Well, hello, how you doing, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. It is 7:16 here on a Tuesday morning with J.R. Simmer and Hammer. You're waking up to a... Hang on. Check the Accu window, which is actually two windows over. Yeah, it is cloudy. We're expecting some showers maybe later on this morning. Cloudy again this afternoon. Cool today. That's the first thing you'll notice as you step out. Little on that might even be a jacket. Although this is the type of day in which... Yeah. You want to have a jacket, maybe. If you're, like, walking somewhere this morning, then you'll get to wherever you're going. By this afternoon, 14, which is not bad, you'll forget your jacket, unless you keep something important in it, like your wallet or your keys, and then the jacket will remain wherever you're going, like the place of work or whatever, and it'll be forgotten, maybe for a series of months before you remember, where's my jacket? I took it to work.
Yeah.
So that's the. Forget your jacket at work. Type of morning.
Well, and back in the day when you carried cash, JR, that's when you'd also find a little something in there. There it is right there.
That's the best. Isn't that the best? Finding money in either a coat pocket or jeans or something you put away for this. It's like the best.
Nah, even somebody else's purse or pants.
Do you rifle through Mira's purse looking for loose change?
No, but I do think as a kid, rifling through my mom's purse, trying to find some loose change to go to the corner store.
Kids, don't take any life lessons from our good friend Simmer.
Nowadays, they just take a debit card, right? I mean, I don't think there's any cash or any looking for that. And also, as far as your Accu window, just make sure the outside of your second window has been clean, JR, just so you're able to give a proper forecast, right?
Yes, exactly. The only thing I can't see from, because we're inside the Bell Media Market Mall. Is that what it, Mall Market?
Media Market Mall?
Yeah. Is I can't see the, if it's raining, I can't really see if the ground is wet or not. So that's why sometimes I'm a bit inaccurate with the precipitation.
And can you also, on the coming soon sign that has been there for a couple of years at the Peking Duck, can you confirm? When that is actually open?
The ironic thing, so for those that were right downtown in the market, and across the street at one point was Real Sports.
Yeah.
And it came and went really quick, really fast. Yeah. So that building has been empty for a long period of time. Yeah. There were some renovations, in the past few months, finally? It felt like something was going to move in. And then now a sign has gone up, a marquee that looks like they spent some money on it. Oh, and I'll just, again, turn around.
Yeah.
And, it says the Peking Duck. So it's, I'm guessing, Asian food of some Chinese food, perhaps. Coming soon, says the marquee. But it also says... Peking duck since 1864, which is maybe when that sign went up, or how long we'll have to expect 1864 years before it actually finally opens.
And I'm always suspicious as well that this is prime time to be opening said restaurant to get all of the summer bush and whatever. That building there and the building where right at the corner where Milestones is at, that's always been quite a rotation of businesses have gone through there as well. Neither have been held at. Now, Ronaldo's been above it, the old hair place right above forever, but as far as below, been a bit of a tough one.
There is a restaurant in Beijing, China called the Peking Duck, supposedly the best duck you can have, and it has been opened since 1864.
So this comes right from Beijing?
Right from Beijing.
Nice.
Now, I don't know if
Do they have a lunch special? Can you read it?
There's no menu yet that I can see.
It's all Chinese symbols you know what? Brush up on your Chinese symbols so you can actually read what the special of the day is.
Yeah,
so. I want this thing to open because if I have to work here late, I like a good lunch special.
I don't mind
walking across the street for a little lunch special.
The issue, though, we can't get out of the front door, and that is crave my ability to get over to Menchie's.
I'm going to rappel down from the second story.
That's a good call, actually. We should actually do a ladder, a little lunch ladder.
Down on the...
The other part, I don't... Just me, you know, personally... probably anything coming out of Beijing right now is probably not the best marketing tool. So
good point by you, Sim. Good point by you.
Throw a different handle on that. Let's go Japanese Village.
We anxiously await the opening coming soon of the Peking Duck across the street from us here at 87 George Street. Okay, 7:20. So Jamie Baker, our Sens analyst, and I won't call him crack prognosticator,
But not bad.
No, not bad.
Third place finish after round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. Tucked in nicely behind Simmer and I, tied for first, while Hammer trails the field.
Well, he's really second because you guys tied for first. So
no, that
he's
makes him third.
Place.
That makes him third, actually.
And you
technically.
No, 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 I'm third.
And you're fourth. So he'll join us at about 8:45 with predictions for, and we'll have some fun with predictions for round two. Double your point totals. So we'll have that for you. Mike Johnson. Oh, I should mention our TSN 1200 tool and equipment store web poll question, looking for your prediction on who you think will meet in the Eastern Conference final. Okay, all right. So, and thanks to, I said, you know, if we got a battle of Alberta, can we call it the Battle of Florida? This doesn't sound right. Got a couple people. A couple people said the suggested the fight for Florida.
Okay. Yeah.
Then Andres. This was a bit of a long handle, Andres, and this is why I think it may not work.
Yeah.
The Sunshine State Showdown.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of, that's a lot of.
That's some alliteration.
Yeah, now, if you want to go, if they're going as a crow flies, Jer, and they're going head to head, if you're going to meet in middle ground, you're going to meet in the middle of the Everblades, right? So Alligator
Everblades?
Alley.
Yes.
Well, you could do a little Alligator Alley action. Yeah. Like we could, you know, this is where you'd meet right in the middle.
Orlando?
No, no, on Alligator Alley.
Oh, okay.
Which is
right on that highway?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we could do a little something with that, hey?
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
I'm voting for Sunshine State Showdown.
Okay. Oh, because it'll come out Sunshine State. I know 100%. So Andres, I appreciate it. I think we need some work on it. Anybody's got a better idea of what we, because we can't call it the Battle for Florida. We got a Battle of Alberta already.
Well,
that's got heritage.
The Battle of Ontario.
They have heritage, okay? The Florida and Tampa never met in the playoffs till last year. Now it's two straight years. It's a highly anticipated matchup. Yeah. People are looking forward to watching it. It needs a good handle.
So are you erasing the title of Battle of Ontario?
Well, you know what? For the purposes of our show and the good listeners, all right, I think we can do better is my point.
Okay.
All right, a lot of very creative people out there will be able to better that. So text us your ideas at 12-1200.
I think Alligator Alley, JR, we got something cooking there. You know, that's very symbolic.
Okay, but you can't just say
action.
Alligator Alley. Yes.
I know. We need a
battle or showdown or, something like that.
While you're on our website, TSN1200.ca, vote on our tool and equipment store web poll question of the day, which is, which two teams do you think will survive to meet in the Eastern Final? All right, so obviously you have four different combinations are available, any of Florida, Tampa, Carolina, or the Rangers. Let us know what you think at TSN1200.ca. So Jamie Baker by with his predictions coming up at about 8:45. Mike Johnson will weigh in as well, our TSN hockey insider. Mike will join us at about 8:10 live from Helsinki. Had to look it up last night. Time difference between here and Helsinki. Simmer, where you've spent many scouting trip is how many hours?
6 hours.
Seven, actually. It's 7 hours right now.
Have they officially switched it over? Well, last week it was six, so they must have changed their clocks.
I don't know. I looked at it last night. I looked at it at 8 o'clock last night, and it said it was 3 o'clock in the morning. So I did quick math and said that's 7 hours. I'm assuming it's still the same.
Okay.
So maybe I looked wrong. I didn't know you guys had looked last week.
No, I just looked last week at the time.
It's either going to be 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on an off day for Team Canada. Yeah. So I don't know where we're going to be finding Mike Johnson. Maybe they've got a non-Canada game today to broadcast. I don't know because I know they're doing some non-Canadian broadcasts. Yeah. But we'll find Mike somewhere. He'll join us in 1 hour from now, and he'll be able to give us some insight into Tim Stützle's injury, which is certainly a big story for Senator fans this morning as he exited the game, Germany's game against France yesterday after taking a hit from a French defenseman into the boards where it kind of caved in the side of his left knee. And of course, that's the same knee that he hurt on the Nick Suzuki hit late in the season. He was able to limp off the ice on his own, but he was visibly upset. In fact, took a slashing penalty as he left the ice because he was so upset. There is no update as of this morning from anywhere that we've been able to find on the internets so far. Nothing official from the Ottawa Senators. They have only, not the team, the reports out of Germany have said he is being reevaluated. Fingers crossed if you're a Senator fan that the news will be at least not too bad on Tim Stützle. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out today.
Yeah. Contact Sport JR. I have no issue with it whatsoever. But, you just pray that he's okay to go.
Yeah. Could be, could be a thing as little as something like a bruise where he could be back in the next game. And again, as I said last hour, I don't want to be an alarmist.
No.
But do not be
Do not be just take it on the surface of, oh, he's able to at least skate off. He limped, so it can't be that bad. People have been able to skate off with torn ACLs as well.
No, again, we try to be accurate here. No, it's anywhere from a bruise to career ending.
Yes. I'm going somewhere in the middle, hopefully more toward the bruising side. But again, this is one of these things that as an organization, you know, your player wants to go over there and play for his country, and you want to encourage that. And you're just thinking, if you're the general manager, in the back of your mind, please, I just ask for one thing.
Oh, I know.
Just don't get hurt.
Well, and hey, let's, you know, again, this is, I think, different in any circumstance. But realistically, from an Ottawa Senators perspective, yeah, this would be the last thing you'd talk about in the long term. And all the focus you've talked about and wanting to, hey, players are going to go play in the World Championships if they want to. Nothing you can do. Oh, you're just praying, Jer. Everybody gets through healthy. Everybody gets in the summer training. No calls that you got injured training. And in this case, hey, there's a lot of pressure next year to end up off to a good start. Now, and I'm not even going to have fun with it, but imagine if he is hurt, and then you're also looking at the Josh Norris camp, who's waiting for a new contract. Mm. Hey, yeah, what are you thinking here?
Went up a tiny.
With the two of us with not to start training camp. Good luck on that one.
Oh, dear.
Along with Pinto. Has not played in a year.
All right. Mike Johnson joins us in 1 hour. And Mike, I don't know whether he's not going to have an official update. The team will put out an official update. And that's the other thing we should remind everybody is that Pierre Dorion is already over there. In fact, I believe he was at the game yesterday. And, of course, DJ Smith is the assistant coach. And Dom Nicoletta, the Sens head athletic therapist, is doing same for Team Canada. So in terms of management, coach, and the head athletic therapist, they're actually all in Helsinki as well, which is, you know, relatively speaking, just in terms of getting a good, honest evaluation with your own eyes, that's an important part of this.
Oh, it's great to have JR. Yeah. I mean, again, you're also talking about, depending on circumstance and severity of somebody having to fly back to Ottawa. So, no, it's great to have the support and for Mr. Dorion over there scouting, and a big part of that is watching Mr. Slefkovský playing for Finland.
Mm, what'd you think? Did you watch him? No, for Slovakia, you mean?
Yeah, Slovakia, sorry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you watch him yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, we got a bunch of ideas coming in for what to call this Tampa Florida series, Sunshine State Skirmish. That's that right there with Showdown. I mean, it's good. Good alliteration.
Yeah.
But again, my concern with Sunshine State is going to come out sunshine.
Yeah, see, I
know that.
Yeah, I also feel like the battle between Leafs fans would outdo the skirmish. Hey, like, we want a throwdown, like the Leafs fans were doing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And did you see, no joke about Marner, but the release that Marner needed after that game, and he was looking for anybody, right? He was basically, he looked like Patrick Kane when he scored the winning goal. He wanted to fight everybody on the ice.
Swift justice.
Yeah.
The frozen citrus bowl, that comes from Jean. A lot of Florida Man references.
Okay.
Florida Man battle. Let's see here.
What does that mean?
Is that in reference to whenever there's some sort of
crazy shenanigans happen in Florida?
That's true. Okay.
And so
okay.
I think they've been known to be that there's a Florida man involved.
Bizarre
like somebody
things.
Dies trying to put a diaper on an alligator. Yeah, something
correct.
Like that, right?
Exactly. Okay. Florida Man Cup comes up here. Yeah. Showdown in the cesspool.
Oh, that,
okay.
Yeah,
again, good alliteration there.
Don't know.
I think we should go down the college football route and go with the Meineke Car Care Florida Bowl.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
Let's see here. How about the Battle of the Glades? There you go.
I love the Florida ECHL team is the Ever Blades, right?
Correct.
Pretty
yes.
solid handle.
Yeah. How about the Bayou Battle? Is Bayou, that's more of a Louisiana thing. Though,
oh,
isn't it?
Absolutely it is. Okay. Well, Bayou isn't in Florida.
Yeah. All right, so keep Florida fracas. That comes from Holger.
Well, that's, you know what? That's not bad, actually.
But fracas says that's kind of low-level fighting, right? I think if we're going
to... We need a rumble, right?
Yeah, we're going to man up here. We can't go with a fracas or a fracas.
Rumble in the jungle, but it's not a jungle. You know, but we're getting close on that one, right?
Yeah, hey? Yeah, we're getting there. Somebody just said it called the Orange Bowl. Again, that may be trademarked.
Yeah.
All right,
simple.
Keep them coming. Text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Okay, 7:30, BLR text us and says, JR, since you're mysteriously off whenever there's news about Pierre Maguire, I'm guessing you have the inside scoop on why a team that is amongst the bottom feeders would fire their vice president of player development. I thought it was a good hire. Just seems odd with 2 more years left on his contract. Any chance Pierre ends up back on the airwaves? Thanks. That comes from BLR. Pierre was hired my first day of holidays last July, and Pierre was fired my first day of holidays, spring holidays. Yeah. This year, so I have not yet offered. Now, what was I was not listening last. So this came out last. Well, AJ and Lloyd got the scoop right last Monday.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How did you guys weigh in on debate?
No, the simple thought was it was crazy to start with, and if you want to talk about the dysfunction of the Ottawa Senators and respectful to Pierre Dorion, the fact that a owner would hire somebody on his own and then stack them in the depth chart below the general manager as a director of hockey operations never made any sense to start with. And to
player development, not hockey ops.
Well, okay, player development. But
it was a title.
Yeah, and just the way that was done. And then you understood and everybody realized there was friction. I thought it was just a smart move by Pierre Dorion. At the end of the day, you don't need this kind of stuff. It's difficult enough. And we've seen historically where coaches and managers don't get along. It just doesn't work, JR. Your best chance for anything is to have everybody on the same page, everybody pulling on the same rope. And you also understand with the passing of Eugene Melnyk, there's probably a bit of a power struggle. At the end, Pierre Dorion wins. So no surprise to it, and it was a smart move to make.
And again, this will be a purely an opinion-based thing. Do you think that because Pierre was very open, right? Pierre Maguire was very open with us in the many years that he was on with us at 8 o'clock over the years that he had interviewed for several general manager job openings while he was, working up the broadcasting world, both with TSN and then eventually with NBC. I think his desire would be to remain in the game and not as a broadcaster.
Sure. Yeah.
But that opening did not come until this opportunity with Ottawa a year ago. I'm hard pressed to think that he's going to get another opportunity.
Yeah. You know what, Jerry? You'd be so speculative. I have no idea. But in this particular case, to come into this situation in the circumstance, as I said, I would agree with that. So certainly wish him all the best. Had a great broadcasting career, and I'm sure there'll be opportunities to do that. But as far as the National Hockey League, and also from a director of player development, and again, I'm sure Pierre brought lots of experience, but that has been the strength of the organization for years. I mean, Sean Donovan and Jesse Winchester, along with the Mann brothers, and everybody involved, including Pierre Dorion, they've done a great job. So if people want to point to and wonder, hey, where was an area you needed to improve on? Well, that, to be quite honest with you, is probably the last area that they need improvement on. They need improvement on their front office, and Pierre would have brought some of that, but more importantly, on the pro side and, evaluation and everything else. And also, hopefully the circumstance going forward, JR, hopefully it's just a little smoother path, because I'm also respectful of the working conditions the last 10 years that I've covered the team are certainly not the easiest. So hopefully smoother path, and this is one of the things you had to do, is get your house in order, and hopefully they're able to expand on some of the employees.
The title that he held, Vice President of Player Development, was an odd one to begin with. I don't know if there's any other organization that has a VP of Player Development. That is usually, that's a little, your Player Development staff is a little down the org chart. Regardless, and without having, while Pierre Maguire said when he was hired that he was going to be doing a number of interviews, they became very few and far between. He never really spoke about the organization, or did very, very rarely. Yeah. The odd time he was on Belleville Radio, actually, when he was down there doing all that to say, he did have a role within player development. But as you said, Sean Donovan and Jesse Winchester were the actual guys on the ground. You would have to think that part of what Pierre did was more of a, I don't call it a pro scouting, but, player evaluation, pro player evaluation. And how much of a role did he have in the decision to sign Michael Delzato to a 2-year one-way contract to trade for Zach Sanford? Is there any?
Well, Gaudette and Graham Burrell. I mean, those are players that Pierre loved. I agree. I don't,
And was that part of the decision making of, listen, you could make an argument that none of the, the Gaudette and the Graham Burrell were, those were, relatively low cost. Yeah. They, other than money, They didn't really cost you a whole lot, but, you know, Sanford was traded for a former first-round pick and didn't really work out, obviously, here in Ottawa. And, you know, the Michael Delzato signing speaks for itself, right?
Yeah.
So, especially at 2 years.
Well,
so,
yeah.
I wonder if that played a role in the decision to move on from him.
Oh, yeah, could be for sure, Darren. And, hey, you want to add to the process. Now, the obvious on the weekend or last week was, well, who the hell did the Murray thing? But anyways, it was not sensible where it stacked up, how it was put. And from the beginning of the season, and credit to Pierre Dorion on that as well. I mean, it just wasn't going to make sense. If you're brought in, okay, first of all, if an owner hires somebody, what are you coming in as? You're coming in as a director of hockey operations to watch over the general manager and the team and relate to the owner. When all of a sudden you're stacked on the depth chart way down and then basically told to be quiet, which you should. You shouldn't be. The director of player development doesn't need to be the person in the media. So that was cut off. It was shot off. It was changed. And like I said, hopefully, whatever this form of ownership and board and everything else going forward, just hopefully there's smoother sailing and a little bit easier working environment.
All right. So, yeah, I have, and to BLR's comment, I don't have any more insight than that, and I have not spoken with Pierre. In fact, I had not spoken with Pierre in quite some time. Mm-hmm. And that may have been as much a decision by himself to kind of go quiet, as he was told by the organization to go quiet. So I don't have any insight other than what was reported last week. And we certainly wish him the best, and we'll see if he resurfaces somewhere, either within the hockey community or within broadcasting.
Absolutely.
Again. Now, I did want to briefly raise, because this is this is an interesting development that certainly has a lot of Senator fans talking on social media. So Roger Lajoie... and I honestly did not know that he held the job of director of marketing with the Ottawa Senators until a month or two ago or something like that. He was for a long time a very close friend. That if you're always wondering why Eugene Melnyk always did the number of appearances that he did on Toronto radio, in particular with Bob McCowan, it dates back to his personal friendship with Roger Lajoie.
Okay.
When Eugene Melnyk... I think actually it was when that the Sens bought Belleville is when Roger Lajoie kind of came into the organization, because I believe that he was involved on the marketing side for the Belleville Senators. And then eventually, as people left that job with the Ottawa Senators, I guess he took on the role with the Ottawa Senators as well. But it must have been in a somewhat part-time role, because he continued to be a weekend host at the Fan 590 in Toronto while holding the job of director of marketing with the Ottawa Senators, which seems odd, we'll put it that way. Anyway, he tweeted out on Sunday, and you were one of the first people to see this, Simmer, because you reacted to it.
Yeah, very much so.
That
yeah,
when Barry, when the announcement of Barry Trotz came, and then Toronto was eliminated from the playoffs. And he's deleted the tweet. So do you have it in front of you? The actual tweet?
I don't.
Hammer's got it. Yeah, okay.
I do.
So this is Roger Lajoie. He's the director of marketing for the Ottawa Senators, tweeted on Sunday what?
Leafs should hire Barry Trotz as coach. He's the best free agent out there. Hashtag Leafs forever.
Okay. So again, and Simmer. Simmer, you quote tweeted that and said, "Don't you work for the Sens?"
Well, here's what I didn't
have. To which he then deleted the tweet, but that has got Ottawa Senator fans certainly talking on social media.
There was a tweet last week, and he just said, "Hey, heavyweight battle tonight between Tampa and Toronto," and I just said, "Go Sens, go." Because and peel back the curtain, Hammer and I have such a good time with that. When we're off the air, we'll just yell it out once in a while. So it's a bit of an inside joke with ourselves. But this is honestly, Jared, and again, in I think things, and this is, I'll say a little bit of Donald Trump, things have been so bizarre here in Ottawa that I think sometimes things are even looked past. To imagine that a person is, you know, talking about a rival when you're trying to restart your business to get a fresh start and to put something like that out there, it just is beyond crazy. And you know, again, I'm having a bit of fun with it, but I'm also saying to myself, come on, like at some point here, the page has to be turned. This has to be fresh. It has to be new. The focus has to be on the Ottawa Senators.
It has to be professional.
Well, exactly, in rebuilding the business.
And no issue with Roger Lajoie, hockey fan. Tweeting about the Leafs and hiring Barry Trotz. It's for me, and this is just for me, including the hashtag Leafs Forever, which is, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs official Had to include that in your, you know, that's basically saying you're a fan.
Yeah.
You're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're the director of marketing for the Ottawa Senators.
Well, I would say this, so, JR, and I use the reference point under Cyril Leader. I do not, and if I owned a hockey team, JR, I don't need anybody tweeting out about what the Montreal Canadiens or Toronto Maple Leafs need that work for me. Like, I just don't need that. I understand what you're saying, but I don't. That doesn't need to be. Who cares? I don't care if you're a fan. I grew up a Montreal fan. You have fun. Well, first of all, I don't work for the Sens. Under the circumstance of where you're at right now, you just don't need stuff like that. And to the further point, and again, this is where you hope it'll get better. It's also something that should have been sealed off by Monday morning. Like, you're just not helping yourself from a business standpoint when you have stuff like this happening. It's just, again, you're trying to make forward progress here. And little things like this right now on social media don't help your cause.
To be sure. And again, because I think pretty much right across the board, it's been negatively received across most.
Well, and Anthony LeBlanc is running the business. You know, that falls under you. You know, and for whatever the board is now, that's where the dynamic. And I'm assuming Roger Lajoie. Oh God, maybe he's even on the board. I don't know, but I hope that these things will be less and less, and just all move forward, and everybody thinking about Ottawa and the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, it's got to be pro.
Yeah, big okay? time.
It
big
just
time.
Needs to be pro. Yeah. All right, 7:41. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get through it because I think I've teed up the fact we're going to get to Pete DeBoer's firing about five times now. I think we should get to that because there is an interesting domino effect here regarding, you know, why they did what they did and who might replace him. So we'll get into that discussion. We'll set you up for round two, game ones tonight in Colorado and in Sunrise as well, and touch on a couple of other things. Thoughts on anything we chat about, always welcome, by the way. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN 1200 as we continue along here on a Tuesday morning. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. Oh, that's such a good tune. Welcome back, everybody. 7:48 here on a Tuesday morning. JR Simmer and Hammer with you. You think about iconic Stanley Cup playoff goals that when they do kind of a, I don't know, they you know, before the final starts and they do kind of a 2-minute thing, and they do a nice job on Hockey Night in Canada. They layered over a good song, and it's all these, you know, great goals and great saves and these moments that you remember. One of them happened on this day, May 17th, 1991. If I were to say to you, Simmer, and we got the play, so you don't need to describe. But if there was one play that Mario Lemieux, one goal that Mario Lemieux scored when Pittsburgh won those back-to-back cups, which one would it be?
Well, it's always walking my buddy Sean Chambers, Minnesota. Yeah.
There you go. That happened on this day 31 years ago.
Minnesota on and right in front of the Gambarasso. Had to be good to stop Barazan. Here's Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
And you know what helps make those calls as well? And I know Bob Cole gets a lot of grief from his time doing Leafs Sens games, but the call of the broadcaster as well is what cements it in the memory banks for a lot of people as well. And it was funny, when I went searching for it last night, Mike Lang, of course, the legendary Pittsburgh Penguins broadcaster, always had the great catchphrases, scratch my back with a hacksaw or whatever it was and all that stuff. That was the first one that came up on YouTube. And I actually had never heard his call before. And it's a good one. But Bob Coles, and again, we're in Canada, but Bob Coles is iconic for, and as soon as you hear that, you can picture in your mind Lemieux going inside out and putting it through the legs of your buddy, Sean Chambers, and beating John Casey for that iconic goal that happened 31 years ago today.
And also, funny as you pick up names, I'm assuming that is not Sergei, that's Perry, that would have come over from your Calgary Flames. Is that accurate or had gone to? Like, the Barazan is mentioned in there. You pick up on that? Okay, right in front of Barrasso to Barazan.
Yeah, Perry Barazan.
So just funny. That's the thing I cue on to when I see, first of all, you hear a call. But when I see iconic photos, right away I want to start trying to guess who else is in the picture.
Right. All right. By the way, speaking of an aside, Perry Barazan, you got to be an old-time hockey fan to remember that name. Did you know that, well, I'll be giving it away right now. When Steve Smith scored, speaking of iconic goals, the own goal which sunk the Oilers against the Flames in Game 7 in 1986, Did you know that goal was credited to Perry Barrison?
You know, I think you brought it up before, Jer, and it was kind of a lesser name, but I didn't know, like, until you said it. And funny timing-wise, right? But when I think of him, I think of him on those Calgary teams. So, yeah, well, that's pretty cool.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, that was apropos of nothing, but I thought we'd touch on that.
I still like it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so Pete DeBoer got fired yesterday by Vegas. Mm-hmm. Before we get into who might replace him.
Yeah.
What do you think? Good decision? You surprised?
No surprise there. He was at the end of, he was now mad at the players. Players are mad at him. He was throwing Robin Leonard under the bus. Robin Leonard was quitting on him. Robin has a long-term contract, so no choice. So, yeah, no surprise here. And people are also critical and say, oh, you went through Gallant. You went through Pete DeBoer. They're in the mode, JR, of, hey, quite simply, and this is where I'm surprised, even when Dave Poulin mentioned yesterday with Barry Trotz in Toronto, of not the style of team. When you have gone as far as you've gone, and this was Lou Lamoriello when he was very hungry back in the day with those Devils teams, hey, don't sit back and say at the end of the season or end of a season or following year, let's see how we start off next year. Hey, you make tough decisions here. It hasn't worked under Pete DeBoer, and I think there is an opportunity here. And when I connect the dots, the obvious is McCrimmon's tie to Barry Trotz and a little bit of Manitoba action, but no surprise on Pete DeBoer. I felt like he was saying all the right things to get fired down the stretch.
he's got to. Listen, when he was down, when he left Kitchener and went down to Florida, and that was, you know, Florida hasn't tasted a whole. Now, they didn't have any playoff success because they hadn't won a series until they beat Washington in 25 years or 26 years. But he kind of put Florida back on the map when he first went there, at least to be competitive.
Yeah.
Then went out to San Jose and, of course, took them to the Stanley Cup final in 2016, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And then eventually Vegas. Now, they went, you know, he was there for essentially 2.5 years, took them to the Final Four in his first 2 years. And, of course, this year with just they did have a god-awful amount of injuries in Vegas this year.
Yeah.
To their star players. But as you said, toward the end of the year, it became what appeared to be a bit of a gong show, especially between him and Robin Leonard. So is this also I guess Kelly McCrimmon is going to survive despite the whole debacle with the Dodonov trade, no trade at the trade deadline. Is this somebody has to be a fall guy for everything that went wrong in Vegas? And Kelly McCrimmon says, well, it ain't going to be me. I got to fire somebody under me.
Oh, for sure, JR. But you know what has also happened? I don't think it's different, but what's happening now under the salary cap, and I'll say with Vegas, JR, just think of Jacques Martin, and I don't even know what point it was, but you come in as a coach and you buy time and you get teams, you know, going and turned around, then you get them into a playoff. You got a window in the NHL right now where it is intense. You want to win. Your window to win is 3 to 5 years max, right? You know, some teams a little different with Pittsburgh and Washington if you have superstar players, but generally, I think coaches are going to get maxed out that much quicker. Do you know what I mean? Because you're the Vegas things from the second you enter it. It's almost like Edmonton, other places. I don't want any time. I don't need to figure out your system. You win right now or you're gone. And so for Pete DeBoer, I think it was just kind of magnified, understanding the pressure. And I don't think the next coach, even if it's Barry Trotz, will be treated any different. There is just an incredible amount of pressure on that group right now. And by every day that some of those guys start to age, I think the pressure is just pushed up that much further and makes them even more desperate to do whatever they can to try to deliver a Stanley Cup.
So Barry Trotz is the belle of the ball right now as far as available coaches go. And I know we brought it up with Dave Poulin yesterday. Mm-hmm. He does not think that Sheldon Keefe is in trouble in Toronto. But if they decided to make a move, he certainly is a high-profile type of person to push a team that's struggling in the playoffs to and has a resume of playoff success, especially obviously in Washington. Mm-hmm. So there's that. There is the whole, grew up in Manitoba, the Jets, again, an organization looking for a head coach. And we've got now Vegas. And I don't think there's any hesitation to spending whatever it takes to win a championship in Vegas that Barry Trotz could end up with just a monster type contract potentially from somebody in this offseason.
Yeah, and I don't see the Jets paying that, JR. And as I've said before, he's from Dauphin, Manitoba, but home is Nashville. I don't think he is longing to go coach the Winnipeg Jets. So, I don't think.
And you mentioned GM of the Predators yesterday. Yeah, if they decide to move on or David Poile decides to step back.
Yeah, very
interesting.
Yeah, very much so, because I know Barry and he's more than capable. He's probably better than the majority of general managers in the league now. He's a hockey guy. Started out as a scout, knows how to run things. He he'd have no problem. And, hey, to be quite honest with you, 40 years into it, I love David Poile to death here. He hasn't delivered. He can't, you know. I mean, unfortunately, and if you're going to be brutally honest, David expects bad things to happen. And if you were to freshen that up in Nashville and put somebody in there that's highly respected, Barry Trotz would be that. Now, the funny part with Barry, though, and this is also where narratives can change, his whole narrative in Nashville is he couldn't win. And then in Washington, he really couldn't win. Then he wins a cup. Then he goes to the Islanders, goes to a couple conference finals, and now it's different. And I say more that I've known Barry forever. You know, it's just sad that you get labeled that way. Barry has always been a winner. He's been a great coach. So, yeah, I would not rule that out. And like I said, Nashville is home. So, yeah, you know, those are some things to look at and what he wants to do and the McCrimmon tie. And if you're Vegas, and also when Pooley touched on yesterday, and this is what I don't believe with Toronto, like when he went into Washington, I know they might have been a bit older, but the players in Toronto have all got paid right now. I don't think Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Tavares, Nylander, Morgan Rielly, any of them really care what their point totals are, JR. I think they only care about winning because in some sense...
And the whereabouts of the Rangers.
Well, yeah, exactly. But in some sense, it would just be a sense of relief, right? I mean, they've all gotten paid. There's nothing more for them, you know, to accomplish. Just winning and almost taking a little bit of heat off the market, and that's why I'm surprised that Barry Trotz, at the end of the day, is the best coach in the business, in my estimation.
There you go. Not that there's much of an update, but garbage bag. So it's garbage bag day for the Leafs today. It was garbage bag day yesterday for the Bruins, and Patrice Bergeron again asked about his future. Mm-hmm. Said, "I need time. Need time. I haven't made a decision. Need time." He was asked, flat out, direct question. Would you consider playing for another team? Flat out direct answer, no.
Yeah.
Now,
what happened?
I know
he's
that
supposed to be going to Montreal
with Christopher Letang and Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I think that's the hat trick.
Okay.
Well, now Malkin could be.
That's true. Yeah, but deal. Anyway, in all seriousness, yeah, Bergeron to me is a Bruins lifer, yeah. as we discussed yesterday. I think he's seriously pondering retirement. I really do.
I so agree. And some things people are talking about Jason Spezza. Hey, listen, Jason Spezza couldn't find a job. When he was in Dallas in their 700 overtime game, he played 6 minutes. It's a different thing. We're still talking about a top player in the National Hockey League that's an $8 or $9 million player. To ruin and tarnish you would ruin your legacy in Boston to go to Montreal. And what would be the purpose? I mean, Montreal is a tire fire. Why you'd want to do that right now? So I totally agree. It's either Boston or he makes a decision to hang it up. Now, my feeling is after the Lindholm trade and after the dust settles, JR, I think he signs a one-year deal. Like, I felt different yesterday. I do think if he takes a little time off and they say, listen, here's what we're trying to do. We've got the group. Here's a couple of other things we might try to do. Come back for one more year. And he might be one of those athletes that just goes year to year now. But it's either that or he just says, hey, call it a day, which I wouldn't be says. You pointed out, no surprise there either.
Yeah, I do agree with you on the coming back for one more year because maybe Don Sweeney goes to him and says, we'll push all the chips in for next year. Yeah, you know, whatever we've got in terms of, and they don't have a very deep prospect group in Boston. And they traded a first-rounder for Lindholm, right, to Anaheim?
Yeah.
So they don't have their first-rounder this year. I guess I'll look it up, but I think they would have it for next. I mean, if you really wanted to mortgage your future, you could. Mm-hmm. Potential to bring a couple more players in to make one last push with that older group in Boston.
Yeah.
And maybe that's enough to bring him back. So we'll keep our eye on that situation. Okay, while we go to break, got a lot of people weighing in because we've decided that the battle for Florida just doesn't work for many different reasons. We've got a battle of Alberta in this round, so we don't need a battle. So we're looking for suggestions. So a number have come in. Let's see. Brawl on the beach or beach brawl. That comes from Dave.
That's not bad, actually.
The Citrus Cup. Okay. Hey, JR, we need to go with a Florida hockey contest name of the Citrus Cup. Now, I know how you don't like long names, so we can just shorten it to the C Cup. That comes from Dave, who's riding his bike to work in Ottawa.
It's a lot easier.
C-Cup. Yep,
yeah, yep, Battle of... Yeah. Okay, there's a number of panhandle references. Battle of the Panhandle.
Yeah.
Pillage of the Panhandle. Panhandle pugilism. Which, listen, I like all the alliteration. Unfortunately, neither Sunrise or Tampa are actually in the Florida Panhandle.
Yeah, that is, and some of you that brought the Bayou in, Battle of the Bayou.
Well, on that simmer, okay. Hey, simmer, Florida does have bayous, but they have fewer bayous than Mississippi and Louisiana. Most of Florida's bayous
are located in the Panhandle. The most famous is the Tarklin Bayou Preserve State Park. The Everglades are similar in ways to a bayou, but they are a different ecosystem. That comes from Unsigned.
Well, here's what I know, guys, and we'll settle in the next couple of hours. The two things that are most relevant in Florida are alligators and cougars. So...
The animal?
Nope. So we've got to figure out. One of those has to be used in our battle. Alligators or cougars?
Okay. What about outlet shopping?
Well, that's pretty close.
Get that too.
Cougar cup.
Keep them coming. Text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. We will take a break. Get a top of the hour news and sports update. Not much going on last night game-wise. I can tell you the Blue Jays got back home and got a win. Unfortunately, the Gatineau Olympique fall in their playoff series. They're now down 2-0 in their best of five going back to Shawinigan. We'll talk all things hockey and get you the very latest on Tim Stützle and his injury yesterday for Germany. The man who called the game from Helsinki, Mike Johnson, will join us live in Helsinki. That's coming up next right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.